Good morning and welcome to our Epiphany Sunday worship service. We approach the throne of God to seek his blessing upon our worship. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may you direct our hearts and minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, to give praise to your holy name. And may our worship be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all our sins. May you fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified for us. We ask this in his name. Amen. Opening hymn is 396, Arise and Shine in Splendor. Please stand. We conduct this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Lord God, by the leading of a star, you once made known to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us also know him now by faith, to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading on this Epiphany Sunday is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. And this is one of those messianic prophecies foretelling Jesus coming as a light, and how he causes his light to shine not only among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles. And they come bearing gifts in praise of this Savior who has been born. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you, the multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Glory to you, O Lord. This is that very familiar section of scripture that tells of the wise men coming to worship the young child Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. At this point in the service, I ask the newly elected officers of the church council to come forward for their installation. Dear brothers in Christ, Holy Scripture tells us that the 12 apostles gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. You have been chosen to fill specific positions of responsibility in the congregation. As such, you are to work with me and the future resident pastor of the Word and Sacrament, that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, in accordance with the order of our church, that the Word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of the young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. In order to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that the proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, and the cultivating of harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and work is the way of all who trust in Christ, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be patterns of good works and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Lutheran Church? If so, then answer by saying, I do.
I do.
The Almighty and most merciful God, our Heavenly Father, enlighten and strengthen you in your office, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name. and these people. Timothy Blank, Jan Messerschmidt, Gary Fenton, Brenton Harillo, Michael Harillo, Michael Slackengren. Did I say your name? Timothy Blank?
Yes, you did.
And Michael Slackengren?
Yes.
When you get older, you forget. I instruct, or I install you as members of the Church Council of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Spirit, those gifts which they will need for the faithful carrying out of their task, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, enliven the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who faithfully served your people, who now retire from their time of service, and we pray that in the end of days, we, with all your faithful people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." Go then in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. You may return to your places. We continue with the singing of hymn 397, "As with Gladness Men of Old." Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be poured out upon you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we consider this Sunday, this Epiphany Sunday, is taken from Paul's letter to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 to 12. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifest wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, who is the Savior of all the world, both Jew and Gentile alike, dear fellow redeemed. The Christian observance of Epiphany is especially meaningful to us as Gentiles. The season of the church year is so very special to us because on Epiphany Sunday, we call to mind that extraordinary special star that appeared in the east and announced the birth of the Savior of the world. The same star that went ahead of the wise men and led them to where the young child was to be found in Bethlehem of Judea. Some have referred to this commemoration as the Gentile Christmas. And why is that? Because the wise men were the very first Gentiles who had the privilege of beholding in faith the newborn Savior God in Jesus Christ. The manifestation or revealing of Jesus as a Savior is also of the Gentiles should be looked upon as something really very special to us, very important, and it gives us reason to rejoice with joy. From the Old Testament days of Abraham down to the many centuries of time, up to the early beginnings of the Christian church, it was the Jews and not the Gentiles who were highly honored and blessed in the kingdom of God. It was the Jews who were chosen to be God's very special people as set apart from the rest of the world. It was the Jews with whom God made a very special covenant, a promise, that as they observed that covenant, they would be blessed above all others. It was the Jews to whom God made known special revelations of the law and the gospel and appointed them to serve as ambassadors to the rest of the world. It was the Jews from whom Jesus was to come. And it was to the Jews that Jesus was to go and carry out his ministry more so than anyone else. Also, in the early Christian church, the gospel of Christ was brought first to the Jews. Remember what we saw in our study of Acts, the apostles were instructed, you first go to the Jews with the gospel of Christ. And so, in the early church, a vast majority of the church was made up of Jewish Christians. But then as time progressed, Gentiles were added to the church, and it became so much so that the Gentile Christians became a majority of the church, and it wasn't quite so common to find Jewish Christians, even to this day, except for those who are known as Messianic Jews, Jews who believe in the Messiah and Christ Jesus. Do we as Gentiles consider it remarkable that the gospel has been made known to us, and that through the gift of faith in Jesus, we've been made a part of his kingdom and are made full partakers of the wonderful blessings won for us through the redemptive work of Christ? For centuries now, Gentiles throughout the world have known and heard the good news that by the grace of God, in Christ Jesus, God welcomes us into his kingdom with all his many privileges and blessings. Is that special to you? Is that important to you as Gentile Christians? That this wonderful happening would take place was not commonly known in the era prior to this. Paul reveals in our text the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Paul speaks of the knowledge that through faith in Jesus Christ, Gentiles are to be included in God's kingdom and be made partakers of all his many gracious promises and blessings. And he said that this was a mystery. It was hidden for centuries. It was unknown to many, Jews and Gentiles alike. They didn't know this. The Gentiles were to be included in the kingdom of God with all special rights and privileges. Now, while this was a mystery to many, God has given some indication that in Old Testament times that this was to be the case, and he made it known through prophecies. Recently, we were reminded that the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, is the one through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In our scripture reading in the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah, we heard that clearly proclaimed that the light, Jesus Christ, would shine among the Gentiles as well as the Jews. So we know this light as being Jesus, the promised Christ. Even though these prophecies were made known and recorded in the Old Testament scriptures, still, they were not completely understood by many of the Jews, and for the most part, many and most of the Gentiles. This does not mean, however, that there weren't any believers among the Gentiles. Can you think of some? Ruth, the Moabitess, Rahab, that harlot who became a believer, the Canaanite, Naaman, who was cleansed of his leprosy, became a believer, he was a Syrian, and the wise men. They were Gentiles, first one to hear about Jesus' birth and went to worship him. And there were also other Gentiles who believed as well that are not mentioned in the Bible. Of those Old Testament Gentiles who believed, not all of them were welcomed to full fellowship in the kingdom of God with all its rights and privileges. Only those who were willing to submit to the old covenant laws. Then they could have the full rights and privileges of God's kingdom. And these people who became proselytes, they were called proselytes of righteousness. they could not participate in the religious observances, like the sacrifices and offerings and the festivals. And they had to stay in the court for the Gentiles. They didn't have full rights to the rest of the temple, just limited to the Gentile court. And the Jews were not to come into contact socially with the Gentiles, lest they become ceremonially unclean. So this is in the Old Testament. This is the way it was. It was a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. According to God's plan, which he had determined in eternity before the creation of the world, it was not his intent to limit membership in his kingdom only to the Jews, but it would also include the Gentiles as well. So according to his eternal plan, he would unite believing Jews with believing Gentiles into one body, which you just recently confessed, the Holy Christian Church, both possessing full rights and privileges in God's kingdom. Freely, equally. When we say freely, this does not mean that those Gentiles who became believers in Christ, that they would have to submit to certain Old Testament covenant laws, like being circumcised or observing the Jewish festivals to receive full partnership in God's kingdom. May God preserve and deliver us from any of those who have that faulty idea, the religious belief that in order for you to be saved, you're going to have to submit to some of these Old Testament laws. That's not grace. That's not freely, equally given to us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. The gracious plan of God in regard to Gentile nations began to be realized in the New Testament age. What was once a hidden mystery to many would become widely known throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, he would make and have a major role in this. And he came to understand that on his conversion to Christianity. On that occasion, the Lord said to Paul, "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Through this revelation, Paul not only learned of the mystery concerning the Gentiles coming into God's kingdom with full rights as sons of God through God's grace, but he was also chosen as an instrument. He was called by the Lord to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And in our study in the book of Acts, we saw that in the different missionary journeys that he made. Who did he go to? It was, he went first to the Jews, that's for sure, but he also went to the Gentiles as well, made known that gospel far and wide among the Gentiles. We see from the words of our text how important it is, and still is, to have the gospel made known to the Gentiles. As Paul testifies, he was to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you weren't baptized or instructed, could you have found out the gospel on your own? Could you have looked into the deep recesses of your mind and found it there? Could you look around yourself in nature and find the gospel of Christ? No, it's unsearchable. They defy search and discovery. There's no footprints leading to them which man may follow in order to find them. The only way that people can discover and learn this unsearchable truth is in the revelation of the apostles and the prophets. Because of the inspired testimony of the apostles and the prophets, we Gentiles have been blessed with the knowledge of faith in and possession of the riches of Christ, which are the fullness of salvation and all spiritual heavenly blessings through Jesus Christ, which he has won for us. Yes, we Gentiles, like the Jews in Old Testament times, have been greatly blessed through the gospel of Christ. But then, what has been the number of Gentiles since then who have believed in and fully appreciated the gospel? Have there not been many who have not trusted that word? They have treated it with disdain or with apathy and complacency, who have compromised or completely abandoned God's word or rebelled against God's precepts? Don't we find that that has been the case so often in the world today? Not all the Gentiles have appreciated the gospel of Christ like it should be. Certainly none of us want to fall into the state of spiritual sluggishness or apostasy, that is, falling away from God. Otherwise, we can hear God's passing judgment saying, take the gospel away from them and give it to people who are willing to listen to it, who appreciate it, who put their faith and trust in it. From this, preserve us, dear Heavenly Father. When we give full consideration in the great treasures we have in Christ Jesus, and then consider what kind of life would be like without it, and what it is with it, then we appreciate more so what we have. And that's what Paul went about doing and when he was writing to the Ephesians, reminding them what it was like without Christ and what they have with Christ. He said, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. May these words of our Lord remind us of what it's like to be without Christ and what it is to be with Christ, so we realize what kind of a blessing we have. As we commemorate the wise men's pilgrimage to the baby Jesus, may we rejoice that God made it possible for those first Gentiles to come to worship that young child, Jesus, and to appreciate the blessings we have through him. May God help us to guard, keep, and treasure the precious truths of the gospel. And may our chiefmost mission in life be to let the light of God's saving grace in Christ Jesus shine in our lives before others, so that other people can know their Savior, both Jew and Gentile alike. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Lord Jesus Christ, you came bringing light and life and hope to a world that lies in spiritual darkness and under the shadow of eternal death. As the Gentile wise men knelt and adored you, so we bow our hearts in praise to you, our Savior and King. O Holy Redeemer, you came once long ago to dwell for a time among humankind. Come and graciously find a permanent dwelling place in our hearts. Forgive our sins and fill us with a joy and peace that comes through the sure hope of everlasting life. Day by day, increase our appreciation and trust for all you've done to redeem us from our sins and reconcile us to God. As the wise men brought you gifts in token of their worship, so may we present to you with the precious fruits of faith, our hearts filled with love for you, our wills bound in holy obedience to your word, our minds eager to grasp the truths of salvation, our lips ready to declare these truths to others, our hands willing to give help where it is needed, our earthly treasures freely shared with you, and finally, our senses ever alert to the sights and sounds of your reappearing on the last and final day of this world. Oh, keep us from backsliding into sin and unbelief. Precious Lord, praise be also to the Father in heaven, who by sending you to be our Savior, has commanded the light of the hope of everlasting life to shine into a sin-darkened world. And praise also be to the Holy Spirit, who has caused this light to shine gloriously in our own sinful hearts, delivering us from the menacing shadow of eternal death. Savior of the nations, light of the Gentiles, and the glory of Israel, shine your bright gospel beam of life and salvation into the farthest corners of the world and into the darkest recesses of human hearts, that people everywhere will be drawn to you. And lead us at last out of this evil world of darkness to heaven, where we will enjoy with all the saints and angels a life that will never end. We ask it in your name, O Christ, the light who shines in us. Amen. We continue with the next hymn, Hail, O Source of Ever Blessing. Please stand. Our service continues on page 12 at the top. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we now join to pray that he has taught us. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of institution of Holy Communion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. Those who wish to receive the Lord's Supper where they are seated, as to first take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body given into death for you. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Now those who wish to receive the Lord's Supper at the altar of the Lord may come forward under the direction of the usher. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Thank you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this true true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sin. May this eating and drinking strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Please stand for the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 15. Receive with believing heart the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We continue with the final hymn, O God of God, O Light of Light. Good morning. And happy Gentile Christmas to you. I have some additional notes beyond what's found in the bulletin today. As I may have mentioned before, Michaela Hammond has been so gracious to run off the bulletins, but she was gone during the Christmas break. So I don't know, how many bulletins did you run off before you left? Maybe four or five or so? Anyway, there's some additional notes for you to consider from what's found in the bulletin. So shortly after the service, we'll be having a voters' call meeting, a fellowship hall. Before we have that meeting, I'd like to ask some of the able-bodied men to go up to the attic and bring down the empty totes so that if any want to start taking down and putting away the decorations, they can do that during the voters' meeting. After the voters' meeting, there will be a council meeting, and I think a good place for us to meet would be in the pastor's office. The annual reports are due next Sunday. There's also a card that's on the stand in the narthex that has been addressed to Ida Drews. I don't know if you have heard, but she is dealing with pneumonia. Ida's Barb's mom. If you'd like to add your words and your name to it, I'm sure she would appreciate it. Ida still has our congregation in her thoughts and prayers and support. She's a former member of the congregation. The school begins their sessions again on Monday. There's a revised calendar that's found in the member boxes. And then there will be the annual meeting for the annual reports on the 19th. May God in his grace be with you always.